Pennsylvania's new governor has made increased education funding his top priority, but his plan relies on a comprehensive tax overhaul. This is Multiple Choices, a Keystone Crossroads podcast that pulls back the curtain on issues of schools and money in Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Kevin McCrory, and today we're hashing out the plan that Governor Tom Wolf has proposed, one that would boost ed spending, shifting some of the burden away from local property taxes and towards income and sales taxes. Joining me is Paul Sokolar, publisher of the Philadelphia Public School Notebook, as well as Dale Mezzacapa, contributing editor for the Notebook.
Hi, Kevin.
Thanks for having us.
So what exactly has Wolf proposed?
He's proposing a combination of a major boost in education spending, K-12, pre-K, and higher ed, along with a big shift in the tax structure to try to reset the property tax rates at a lower rate by generating more revenue at the state level from sales tax, personal income tax, cigarette tax, and a tax on the Marcellus Shale.
And just to hit the specifics, right, the personal income tax would go from 3.07 to 3.7. The state sales tax would go from 6% to 6.6%, and actually would include way more things that aren't taxable right now. Like you said, Paul, there'd be a new state cigarette tax and a natural gas drilling tax. If you take Wolf's plan in total with the property tax reductions, he says that homeowners earning under $100,000 would see a net tax break. The Independent Fiscal Office did an analysis of Wolf's plan that found otherwise. They expect all income brackets will end up paying a little bit more at least. Wolf disputes the IFO's calculus, though, and here's how he summed up his overall philosophy at a recent interview that I did with him in his Philadelphia office.
The prior administration tried cutting their way to prosperity. It didn't work. We went from top of the charts to the bottom of the charts in job creation. Everyone knows the problems our schools are having, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. And property taxes have gone just too high. So I'm using this as a chance to reset that whole system, invest adequately in things we have to invest in, like education, and make sure that the money we're raising to make those investments are raised fairly.
It's a very ambitious, bold budget proposal that he's put together. There's a lot of question marks about whether or not it has any shot in the legislature. And let's not forget that the legislature became more Republican in the most recent election. And they've come out pretty strongly against what Wolf is proposing here.
It's a tax and spend plan.
Absolutely. If, though, somehow it went through, what would it mean for education? And would that really be a difference maker or what?
I think it would depend a lot on the school district, and it would depend on how the formula comes out. But I think there's two things we need to sort of realize. One is that Pennsylvania is one of the states where more burden is placed on local property taxes to pay for education than in most other states. I think right now it's in the mid-30s that is paid for by the state, whereas the national average is close to 50%. And that is Wolf's goal, right, is to ultimately get the state share up to 50%. So that is, a major issue that Pennsylvania has to look at, and this governor wants to. I mean, Governor Rendell also wanted to bring up the state share, and he made a little progress on that, and then there was the recession, and Corbett came in, and that sort of went away. The other thing is that Pennsylvania, its income tax is fairly low relative to other states, and it's not progressive, right, in the sense that it has been ruled by the state courts that it's constitutionally impermissible to tax higher incomes at higher rates, like progressive income tax. The federal government does it that way. Right. Other states do it that way. So it doesn't raise
clause, right?
as much. Yeah, it doesn't raise as much money. And that is, one of the largest sources of state revenue that could be put toward education.
So this deal potentially would really help out those districts that can't raise a lot of local money through property taxes. There's just not a lot of home value there. And that's typically the districts that are spending the least on education anyway, right?
Right. Helps them in two ways. There's the boost in aid. $400 million is proposed in basic education funding, and that more of that is directed to the poorest, neediest districts. And then there's a property tax relief component, which is actually a bigger dollar amount. It's on the order of $3.8 billion for 2016. And that's in the form of property tax relief to local districts. And again, more of that money is directed at the districts that are less affluent.
Yeah, I mean, one of the kind of perverse things about local property taxes is that the wealthier your district is and the higher your property values are, the lower your tax rate is to raise a lot of money.
Right.
The poorer you are as a school district, your property values are lower. You have to tax yourself very, very highly to raise a lot less money. And that is what a lot of the inner ring suburbs around here, William Penn District, for instance, are facing. Upper Darby, are the fact that they have very high tax rates and they don't raise that much money compared to their neighbors next door, Radnor and Lower Merion, which have much higher property values and fairly low tax rates.
So that really is what's underlying and highlighted in a Washington Post analysis recently, that the gap between the poorest districts in right. Pennsylvania and the wealthiest one, that that's the largest gap of any state in the country. So Wolf
is getting bigger.
Yeah, and Wolf is trying to take that on, and these policies would clearly be directed at narrowing that gap.
There's some districts that would actually see their real estate property taxes shrink to zero, right? If they're one of the poorer mm-hmm. districts in the state, their property tax bill goes completely away. There's been variations of what Wolf is proposing specifically on this real estate tax front from Republicans in both the House and Senate, one of which was current majority leader in the House, Dave Reed. But based on the combination of taxes that Wolf is talking about, of course, you know, they're not in favor of that aspect of the plan. Critics say that it will overburden Pennsylvania taxpayers. Steve Miskin is spokesman for Dave Reed, majority leader in the House, as well as Speaker of the House, Mike Terzai.
It's very easy for some people to talk about raising taxes in a vacuum, this tax or that tax, only one cup of coffee or two cups of coffee a week. You know, you cannot talk about taxes in a vacuum. Fact of the matter is, Americans pay approximately one-third of their money to government. That's an awful lot. I work very hard for my money. You work hard for yours. Listeners work very hard for theirs. Do they really want to give up more money for what they consider inefficient government?
Do you, Dale?
I mean, the idea that all government is inefficient and that all taxation is bad, I mean, that is one ideological view. But the fact is that you have to pay for the services you get somehow or other. And I think people should strive to make the tax system as fair as possible. And I think on one level, that is what Governor Wolf is trying to do. One thing about Governor Wolf is that raising the sales tax, the argument can be made that that impacts people on the lower end of the income scale more. You know, that's a consumption right. tax. He's also proposing to raise the cigarette tax statewide. And that's another thing that one could say is not a progressive tax. But, you know, he's trying to raise enough money to pay for the needs of the district, not just schools, but the state in general, and do it as he views as fair a way as possible.
Yeah, to your points on both the cigarette tax and the sales tax, there's certainly arguments to be made that they're regressive. Donna Cooper, executive director of Public Citizens for Children and Youth, says overall, though, she thinks that the tax package that Wolf is proposing is especially good for senior citizens.
Senior citizens spend less and pay less personal income tax because they are living on retirement earnings that aren't taxed in Pennsylvania. So one of the benefits of going to a broad-based state-level tax, like a personal income tax or a sales tax, being more reliant on those for school districts, really protects seniors who live on limited incomes from the impact of school funding increased needs.
Reaction to that idea, Paul?
I think the part of that that's tricky is the sales tax, and right. I'm sure there will be all kinds of debate about which exclusions get changed or which ones continue.
You know, if you want to reduce the burden on people on fixed incomes, you reduce their property taxes, and right. that's one of the things that this—
That's what it does.
It does, right.
Right.
And senior citizens don't have children in the schools for the most part, so they kind of resent paying these high property taxes to pay for schools, and it causes an anti-school attitude. You know, so there's a lot of impact that if you reduce property taxes could really be beneficial.
I guess the larger philosophical question is essentially, how should we fund public education? Should it be seen as a collective good that's funded by redistributing state wealth through Harrisburg? Or should it be left to localities where, hey, you know, you make enough money, maybe you value education to a higher degree, schools in your area, you know, have more resources because of that, and maybe are better schools. Sure, you know, there's inequity in that system, but that's America, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what he's tapping into, what he's gambling on is that there's enough bipartisan hostility to property taxes being the way to fund schools that he can get some support for changing that system. And there have been various ideas out there over the past several years for how to shift away from property taxes that have come from both parties. So that really was his ploy here. He could have just pitched more education money and tried to raise the level of funding more incrementally at the state level, but he's really decided to try to tackle the property tax issue head on.
And prior efforts to do that, you know, basically were things that I forget the name of the law, but it was, you know, the districts could not raise property taxes over a certain amount for a while. Mm-hmm. So the effort to tackle it was not a comprehensive effort as Wolf is doing now.
So I guess the big question then is, does it have a shot?
People I talk to in, you know, connected with Harrisburg do think it has a shot, that it's not
the whole DOA. The whole shebang.
Mm-mm. Some version of this has a shot.
What do you think, Dale? I mean, you've been watching Harrisburg for a long time.
Well, you know, I think that his gambit was big enough that it can't just die. Something is going to have to change. And certainly if people do reduce property taxes, which will be the most popular thing to do, and which Republicans can't very well turn up their noses at since they've been calling for it for many years, then they're going to have to come up with other revenue raisers. And what they wind up being, I guess that's what's probably going to be in flux.
And how much?
Yeah. And if we just looked at the schools part of it, who's the big winners here and what does it really mean?
I think the big winners are the neediest school districts in the state, but that's where the boost in money is directed. And we cover Philadelphia. We've seen the toll of the budget cuts over the last several years has really been appalling.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that people who move from Philadelphia to inner ring suburbs thinking they're going to get a better education for their kids, and then they realize that they're going to get taxed up the wazoo and they're not going to get necessarily a great education for their kids, you know, it's going to be a big eye-opener and it will help those districts too a lot.
With that, I think we can conclude this episode of Multiple Choices. Thanks so much for being here, Paul Sokolar, publisher and editor of the Public School Notebook.
Thank you.
As well as you, Dale Mezzacapa, contributing editor.
Thanks for having us.